This is The Parable, Musings on Design, Faith, and Life with Stephen Olmsted. It's May 7th, 2018. Being vulnerable in groups. I wrote an article in March of 2015 entitled, An Epicurrence: How Embracing Vulnerability Can Make Us Better Designers. It was an article centered on my experience and takeaways from, at that time, Dan Petty's very first Epicurrence event, particularly on the topic of how one specifically embraces vulnerability versus fearing it. In the years since this post, I've received a number of deeply personal emails sharing similar stories of struggle with fear and vulnerability. Just last week, I received a phenomenal email from a young designer wading through this exact topic. Even now, years later after writing it, this event still stands out as a truly pivotal moment for me personally. Dan has since completed many other Epicurrence events, and I've been incredibly blessed to have taken part in several of them. The resounding theme of vulnerability still stands as the heartbeat of each in my mind. So given what appears to be a high degree of relevancy on this topic, I thought I'd reshare this piece in spoken format in the hopes that it might be of some encouragement to you as well if you find yourself in the same boat. I've included some postscript thoughts at the end as well. I hope you enjoy it. It's 7:20 a.m., and I'm getting ready to board Southwest Flight 4126, Phoenix to San Francisco. I've got butterflies in my stomach because I'm honestly not quite sure what I've gotten myself into. Landing at SFO, I catch a ride with my coworker, Michaela, and make the drive up to Lake Tahoe. We chat about some of the projects we've been working on, and then venture to guess at what's in store for the attendees of Epicurrence No. 1. Epicurrence is the brainchild of designer Dan Petty. It's an unconference born of Dan's desire to connect designers across the globe in a deeply personal way. A small group of 40 or so attendees arrive with a shared passion for design, but leave deeply bonded by the genuine relationships they've forged living under the same roof, breaking bread together, and sharing personal insights. Spectator event it is not. It's a gathering that encourages everyone to venture into deeply vulnerable territory. And it's that vulnerability that makes an event like this work so well. It's a big risk opening up to a group of your peers, but it's also the quickest path to deep, authentic friendship and professional growth. It's something I've been thinking about a lot post-Epicurrence, and I'm realizing just how important small, intimate events like this are for our industry. When we cast aside the meticulously crafted fronts of our portfolios and social media accounts, we can develop meaningful relationships with our peers while enriching our profession. Here's a few design insights I walked away with. Embrace fear as an opportunity for growth. Before Epicurrence, I had never skied or snowboarded before in my life. I was terrified of the fool I'd make of myself in front of such an amazingly talented group. But my fear was completely unfounded. Turns out, there were plenty of folks in a similar boat and happy to help. I tip my hat to the amazing Phil Kaufman, who stuck with me the first day as we shamelessly watched parents teach their little kids how to ski and mimic their every move. It wasn't embarrassing, it was hilarious and fun. Some questions to ask yourself about fear and design. How often as a designer do I waste time worrying about the skills I don't have? Do I let that fear paralyze me and keep me from digging in and adding a new skill to my toolset? How often do I miss out on a fantastic opportunity for growth because of that fear? Make empathy a transformational part of your design process. People don't make decisions in a void. The clothes we wear, the foods we fancy, our taste in music, our experiences and upbringing, all of these help shape the way we design. At Epicurrence, I was given the unique opportunity to converse with an amazingly diverse group of people, from Tobias Van Schneider's cool, calm, and collected demeanor, to Mark Hemian's boisterous, fill-the-room energy, to Matt Spiel's down-to-earth, hometown genuineness. Everyone possessed a personality uniquely their own. What's more, these personality differences weren't barriers to friendship, they were an accelerant. Questions to ask yourself about empathy and design. Do I take the time to walk in my user's shoes, or my colleagues? Do I celebrate their approaches to solving problems? Do I let their unique outlooks transform my own way of thinking and allow it to make me a better designer in the process? At the end of the day, do I temper that empathy with context and action? Be balanced. Let the journey inform the destination. People often say, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. But I'm afraid I just don't buy it. A terrible destination is still a terrible destination, regardless of how fun the ride was. Of course, if we get too preoccupied with reaching our journey's end, we risk alienating everyone around us along the way. The answer, as is the case with many things in life, is balance. In other words, let the destination inform the journey. At Epicurrents, I met many driven peers with some impressively lofty destinations in mind, but what really struck me was how those individuals were translating their destination into daily decisions that pushed that journey forward. Questions to ask yourself about journeys, destinations, and design. Do my daily decisions push me toward a destination? As a designer, do I understand my users' destinations? Do my decisions help them achieve those goals? I'm thankful for the introspection Epicurrents afforded me, and I'm excited to see what it will bring for future attendees. Vulnerability is an ingredient crucial to growing as a designer and as a person. And while vulnerability in and of itself doesn't guarantee growth, it's the environment in which it most easily thrives. Thanks to the entire crew for a head full of memories, deep thoughts, and laughs. Postscript. I'm adding a few additional thoughts here at the end now that I've had over 3 years to think about this topic a bit more. I missed out on a lot as a kid due to fear. As a father of three, I feel an acute burden to not pass on that legacy to them. I want my kids to embrace getting out there and not be afraid of failure. As a Christian, I'm reminded regularly that I need to stop indulging that fear. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." But that's easier said than done, isn't it? It's one thing to say that and profess a noble concept, and entirely another thing to actually do it. Fear doesn't just go away by simply acting like it's not there. It's a discipline that we have to cultivate piece by piece through a dedication to that principle and to the place and person that victory comes from. I was recently asked about practical ways to go about practicing vulnerability in a group situation. Here's the way I like to approach it. I like to seek out individual relationships first, one person at a time. And while that's not always possible, there are small ways to do this. Using my first Epicurrents event as an example, I made it a point to meet a few individuals one-on-one and to establish some rapport and trust with them first. Then later, when I was with a slightly larger group, and hopefully one of those individuals in that group was also with me, I'd make a point to try to loop that person in or to recall a story or sentiment that we shared as individuals earlier on in the day. Here's an example. Early on, I met Matt Spiel. I found out that he grew up in the same town as me, attended high school at the same time I did, in the same town as me, was a designer like me, and also worked at a fully remote company just like me. All of those factoids helped us build some common ground, and later on we recounted those things together to a slightly larger group and learned about commonalities in their backgrounds as well. In this way, you're building upon your one-to-one relationships. You're starting to create a community. You're taking that one-to-one interaction and saying, "Hey, I found what you said valuable. So valuable, in fact, that I'm going to help expose that to a larger group of your peers who will also probably find that valuable." What's cool about this is that not only does it A, give the other person a chance to reciprocate, which, by the way, don't be bummed if they don't, it's not everyone's strength, but B, it allows you to start building bridges with others by showing them you're already connected with someone within the group. That process can be repeated over and over again. And in between, you can get those awesome one-to-one conversations that will help you keep going deeper. It's been a really helpful discovery for me, and one that I keep in mind now as I'm frequently meeting new people each week. Those one-to-one conversations are powerful, and they give you building blocks to get gradually more and more comfortable with vulnerability in a larger group setting. Everyone's a little bit different. Some people thrive on big group interaction all the time. That's not me, like, at all. I've learned how to be more successful with that sort of interaction over time, but my default comfort zone is either one-to-one or conversing in small groups. If you're in a similar boat, don't feel bad about not getting energized by big group situations. Yes, you can learn to succeed in those settings, but there's no guarantee that you'll ever be a big group personality, and that's 100% okay. Ultimately, don't overthink it. I believe God made each of us wonderfully unique and gave us skills and value that we can bring to any group. Don't covet the blessings that someone else has. Learn to appreciate and be grateful for the ones you do have. In doing so, you'll create a network of trust and vulnerability, piece by gradual piece.